This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, and I am thoroughly delighted to be with you today. We certainly do love spending this time with you Monday through Friday as we discuss issues of importance to your life and to your faith. What a joy it is to be able to use these airwaves for the honor and the glory of God and to rejoice Him in all things. Amen. Oh, I can hear you saying amen out there. Amen, amen, amen. Well, you know, I'm very excited about our program today because I have with me, Thomas K. Sullivan, who, in addition to being a very good friend, is also the producer of Women of Grace Television for EWTN. And in addition to that, he is the co-author of a book that he and I put together called The Rosary, Your Weapon for Spiritual Warfare. And this being the month of the Rosary, I thought it was important for us to talk about the book, but to talk primarily about this great gift of the Rosary that we have, why it's important to be an evangelist. Of the Rosary. And I must tell you, I really do believe that our Blessed Lady, in calling together an army at this moment in the history of man, is looking for individuals who will evangelize this great spiritual weapon that is ours. And as Tom and I get into the program today, we're going to be talking about why the Rosary is a spiritual weapon, what it is that it does for us, how it is that it leads us into deeper union with our Lord Jesus Christ, and the way in which we can actually become an evangelizer of it. And, you know, the times that we live in are fraught with difficulties and circumstances that have never happened in the history of man before. Well, there are certain currents, of course, that crop up in every generation and in every day and time. But the way in which the debauchery of our moment is being marketed, the way in which the media in all of its various strata is complicit, the capacity to market evil in nanoseconds never existed before. And into these moments, we are reminded that we are not left without the capacity to wage a holy war against the powers of darkness. And we have all of the gifts that Holy Mother Church gives to us, but one gift in addition to the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass comes to us directly from heaven, and that is the Rosary given to us by our Blessed Lady. So we're not going to take any phone calls today because we really want to get into the nitty-gritty of all of this, really do want to explain to you where the battle began and how it spilled over into time, why it is that you and I are caught up in it, and answer just all kinds of different questions and reveal different aspects of this great and powerful tool, this great and powerful weapon that we have called the Holy Rosary. I'm really giddy about it today, and I'm hoping that you are too. We normally do invite you to call us. As I say, we're not going to take calls today, but we are always happy to receive your emails. We're always happy to hear from you on our listener comment line. So I want to give you that email address. It's womenofgrace@ewtn.com. That's womenofgrace@ewtn.com. We certainly do invite you to send your questions to us. And when we do one of those email bag days, why, by golly, I'm certain that your question is going to pop right up there, and we're going to get to it. The same with our listener comment line. I'll have that number for you in just a moment. And we welcome you to call that number to leave your questions there. We dip into that caller line too, and we grab your questions, comments, insights, inspirations, words of encouragement, and we share them with our listening audience as well from time to time. So please do utilize all of those means to contact us right here at Women of Grace Live. Also want to remind you that our website is chock full. Did I say chock? I sure did. Chock full of valuable resources available for you. We've got all kinds of good stuff. And as I keep telling you, the best deal on the planet is our Women of Grace exclusive subscribership opportunity. It opens up all of our archives to you. We have got studies online for you there. We've got webinars on a wide variety of topics for you there. In addition to all of that, we have conference talks, we have retreat talks, we have all of our programming archived going way back. I mean, dip into the past. It's there for you. Bring it forward to the present and it's there too. And we archive our podcasts for you right there. So get on out there to womenofgrace.com. See all of the good things that are available for you there. Well, you know what? Before we go to that first break, I'm going to introduce to you my buddy, Thomas K. Sullivan, co-author of our book, The Rosary, Your Weapon for Spiritual Warfare. It's available for you in any number of ways. And did I mention to you it's available at EWTN's religious catalog? It's EWTNRC.com. That's EWTNRC.com. It's the home of holy reminders. We've got it for you on our website too. You help our ministry to move forward. Yes, you do. One woman at a time when you get out to our website and see the great resources we've got available for you there. Good morning, Thomas K. Sullivan.
Good morning, Johnette. How are you this morning?
I'm very well, thank you. It's great to have you on the air to talk about this beautiful book that I believe, you know, God entrusted to us to write because it's very unique and there's nothing quite like it out there, is it there?
You know, you're actually right. It was funny because before we wrote the book, I had been, after I had created the Warrior's Rosary, I had been feeling this prompt to put together this big picture concept and write this book on the rosary when you and I started to talk and you were like, hey, I'm working on this, you know, book on the rosary and, you know, I've been asked to write this. And I said, well, that's funny because I'm working on one too. And we talked about it. And what ended up happening, I think, really in this particular book, Johnette, was if this is a word, a synergistic package that really brought all of your background and all of your spirituality and love for our Blessed Mother and my military background and the things that 25 years of praying the rosary, and we came together and it meshed into this, I think, this amazing tapestry of understanding the rosary, but in the context of our daily lives as soldiers of Christ on the battlefield, where the war began, who our special forces saints are that work. There's so much. So I think it was providential that we together were entrusted to put this together.
Well, I think synergistic is exactly the right word because it became something bigger than either one of us would have produced. And I do think that in a certain way is emblematic of our Blessed Mother in herself. You know, we know that our Blessed Lady is the one who smites the head of the serpent. We know that our Blessed Mother plays a very unique role in the salvation of the world that comes to us by way of her Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And our Blessed Lady is often referred to, you know, as one terrible, arrayed in battle attire, you know, and this is so very true because she is a warrior in the sense of the fact that she is the one whom God has entrusted to smite the heads of the serpents, not only in that key moment on Calvary's Hill in the sense of her fiat being given at the moment of Annunciation, repeated throughout her life and repeated on Calvary's Hill, but also because of the fact that as our mother, she wants to go to battle for us and she wants to get into the fray with us. And yet on the other side of that, she is just so maternal, so loving, so gentle, so sweet, so kind. And I think that our book presents both of those facets in a way that is quite unique. And when we come back from our break, friends, we're going to continue our discussion today with my guest, Thomas K. Sullivan, co-author of the book that he and I wrote together, The Rosary, Your Weapon for Spiritual Warfare. Be sure to stay tuned. We're going to be right back. Stay tuned. Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. Happy to be with you today, joined here by my guest, Thomas K. Sullivan. As I mentioned to you, he is the producer of Women of Grace. That is EWTN's program that is on the air Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock a.m. Central Time, 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time. We kind of go head-to-head with ourselves on radio right now. And that is a great gift for us. In addition to that, Thomas is the co-author of a book that we wrote together, The Rosary, Your Weapon for Spiritual Warfare. And he is also the creative energy, the one God used to bring into being the Warrior Rosary. And I mention the Warrior Rosary to you very often here on the air. It is a beautiful rosary. It is available for you at EWTN's religious catalog. That's EWTNRC.com, as is the book, The Rosary, Your Weapon for Spiritual Warfare. So, Tom, when we went to the break, you were talking about the fact that, you know, we brought together our insights on the rosary coming from two seemingly diametrical points of view, and yet they do coalesce in this wonderful, remarkable woman called the Blessed Virgin Mary, who gifts us with this rosary by the divine design of God himself. He desired for this to come into being, and it's through Our Lady's hands that we receive graces. So why not the grace of the rosary? But you talked a little bit about wanting to put into context this battle. And I mentioned that, you know, our Blessed Lady is fearful in battle array. And, you know, what are we talking about when we talk about spiritual warfare? And how is it that we all find ourselves engaged in it, whether we want to be or not?
Yeah, and you know, that was my question for many years. And you can recall, there were a number of years where I was sharing with you, I'd say, you know, Johnette, I'm praying the rosary and I'm praying the different mysteries, but I keep finding myself stuck in the garden. And you said, it's okay, Tom, you can stay in the garden just because you're praying, you know, the joyful, the sorrowful, the glorious mysteries. If God wants you to meditate on the garden, stay in the garden. And I took that advice, and I continued to do that. And the more I prayed the rosary and stayed in the garden with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, the unfolding of Adam in the garden began to unfold, and questions for me began to raise up. And I wanted to know further back, you know, if Christ's victory at Calvary was tied to Adam's fall, well, what came before that? Where did this battle begin? And I spent many years reading different saints and fathers of the church, and there was a consensus, and this is in great detail in our book, and it'll be in chapter 3, but the consensus was that it was the incarnation, that God, when he created the angels, he didn't want them to just love him robotically. He wanted them to have a free choice and free will, like we all have when he created us. But when he created the angels, he wanted them to have this free choice. And so the Father said that, well, he had to test them. And I searched and I searched. I was trying to find, well, what was this test? Okay, it was the incarnation, but that's not good enough for me. I wanted to know more and more. And I stumbled across Maximilian Kolbe, and in his sketch, 1940, that it really unpacked a lot of this for me, because he explained that when you look at Revelations 12, verses 1 through 6, and following, it's all about this woman, you know, this queen who would bring forth a male child. And basically what he said, reflecting on that, was that God showed the angels this, that he would become man in the incarnation, but he would do it through a woman. And this woman would be made perfect, that he would create her perfectly with no stain, and she would be queen over the angels, and they would have to pay her homage. And a third of the angels, led by Lucifer, said, you know, no way, this isn't going to happen. And there was a rebellion and a revolt. And this is where St. Michael cries out, you know, who is like unto God, which is what Michael's name means. And the battle breaks out. Now, if you stop there, you know, when you look at Revelation chapter 12, verse 1 through 6, it's all about this woman giving birth to this male child who will rule all nations with an iron rod, who'll be taken up to heaven. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, verse 7 says, you know, war breaks out in heaven. Well, the only way that makes sense is if you understand it in the context of what Maximilian Kolbe is explaining, that this test that took place. And so a third of the angels were thrown out of heaven and they were cast down to the earth. And two-thirds of the angels, though, rejoiced in this, in anticipation and waiting for their sovereign to for God to eventually create her and for him to enter the world as a God-man and eventually be the, that's now the Redeemer of the world. But that's how, where it began. The battle began in heaven, and it spilled over down onto the earth. And that brings us really into now the scene in the garden with Adam and Eve.
Yeah, and it's a remarkable moment there in the garden, you know. And here we see that, as you say, you know, the battle began in the heavenlies, and Satan and those angels that followed him were cast out of heaven. He ends up being called the prince of the earth, and he ends up in that role and position and shows up there in the garden. And we see the de-evolution, really, of the human person through concupiscence, through, that concupiscence that came in through original sin. But, you know, that it involves us in some extent, because we're all scathed by that. And so we all have powers and principalities that we have to fight every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this happened because when Adam and Eve, you know, in the garden, one of the things that is really unique in our book is that we really put flesh on the bones of Adam and Eve. Mm-hmm. Who they are, what, you know, what could they have been experiencing, beginning with Adam's first, just being created before Eve? Here's Adam, and he's this, you know, he's created and he's placed in the garden. Well, where's the evil one? He's in the garden. Does Adam know it? Well, no. So what's happening? You know, and we can see how God begins to fashion Adam, to begin to prepare him like a young recruit. And one of the things that I found really enjoying as we put this book together was I was able to tap into my military background as a company commander in training recruits and what the end goal was. And I could see it, as God created Adam and he began putting him through these various tests, if you would, these commands he'd give him, telling him to, that he has to till and to keep the garden. You know, keep Hebrew shamar, meaning to guard, to protect, to defend. And you've got to ask yourself the question, from what? But he was also shares in his leadership, if you would, when he tells Adam that I want you now to, you know, to name all the animals, which he does. And so he has this command to till, to protect. He has his leadership responsibility now. He's now being formed, if you will, to be a provider, because he has to till the soil in order to provide for himself and whoever God at this point may bring into his midst. He didn't know at the time that Eve was going to be coming. And so he's being fashioned like a young recruit, you know, for this new role that he would play. Well, then God places Adam into a deep sleep. Eve, say he creates Eve out of her side, which we really go into in our book into detail about this, how this creation of Eve from Adam and her being his Azir Kenegno, her battle partner, you know, and how this term, and you've unpacked this too many times, you know, when you're out speaking, but we go into this in our book too, and it's just, I have found it so amazing how this proper understanding of men and women can be found perfectly right here in the creation of Adam and Eve and what they're about to face together, because they're about to face a very evil tyrant.
Yes, indeed. Well, you know, as we continue our discussion this morning, I'm reminded of the fact that you know, we spent hours working on this book, as is the normal way a book gets written. And a lot of that time was really spent in prayer and in contemplation, just asking for the inspiration to know how to move forward. What is of most value to an individual living in these our days and time? And how can we help for them to appropriate the grace that God has in mind for us to receive to tackle all of the problems, not only in the culture? You know, we can talk about the culture and it seems rather removed from us, you know, and we hear the news and we're aware of all of the horrid realities that are taking place in the world, and we oftentimes kind of sideline that. But what we don't understand is just as the perpetration of evil in the heavenlies happened and spilled over into the life of man, so too do all of these negativities from the culture of the day spill over into our own lives. And it's when these problems spill over into our own lives that, you know, we begin to wonder, what can I do to combat them? And here we've got this beautiful gift from heaven that's given to us by our Blessed Lady to really take up arms against those powers and principalities that would seek to take out our marriage, that would seek to take out our children, that would seek to confuse us about gender, that would seek to confuse women about who they are as women. You know, it's then that we really begin to seek, I think, for the answer. And we have a very good way of going with the rosary. I want to ask you this, Tom. You know, when we were working on this book, I don't think I've ever asked you this before, but what was your favorite part in working on it?
Wow, you know, I have favorite parts in each chapter because each chapter is so unique. And like, for example, when we talked about the battles and the wars where Our Lady and the Rosary took place in chapter one, I was fascinated in research on the story of Hiroshima and Father Schiffer, Hubert Schiffer, and these men, these eight German Jesuit priests at ground zero, when we dropped a bomb on them, they never even, not only were they not injured or killed or vaporized like 80,000 others, they never ever experienced the effects of radiation. Some people who've read the book said, why don't we know this? So you read the book, you know it. Well, I do now. But this is one of the gems that was in that chapter. And there's gems throughout each of the chapters that were favorite to me. So I really can't zero in on a particular chapter because each chapter deals in a specific area that is just loaded with jewels in it. Everything from, I think spiritually, I would say, you know, the one area that really spoke to me was the chapter that we talk about remembrance.
Oh,
and,
yes.
And the Jewish understanding of remembrance that John Paul II, you know, explains to us, and he called it, you know, the school of Mary, you know, and how this idea of remembrance, that when we're praying the rosary, when we're praying and meditating on these scriptural passages of Jesus and Mary and their lives together, it actually makes it present. And understand what that was, for me, a tremendous spiritual jewel that I've held on to in prayer now. Just unpacking that and recognizing this understanding of remembrance, and it makes a whole much more sense spilling over into the Mass when the priest says, you know, do this in remembrance of me with the host and the wine, and how it's transubstantiated into the body and blood, soul and divinity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we're transported back in time, and back in time is transported to the current, and then and now are united into the one moment. That blew my mind, but it stimulated my own spiritual growth and prayer, particularly helping me stay focused on the rosary.
Yeah, I think that was a favorite chapter of mine too, in the sense that it helps for us to understand why the rosary is so powerful, and it gives us a gateway through which we can begin to enter into the mysteries of the rosary. And that's what the contemplative dimension is really all about. It's not the same as supplication, good as supplication is. It's not the same as intercession, good as intercession is. It's not really even the sense of meditation, as good as meditation is, but it's entering into the mystery itself. And this is where Father God would like to take us. And our Blessed Lady, as John Paul II has often stated in his writings, provides for us the means by which that can happen. And it's called that School of Mary. And the School of Mary is located in her Immaculate Heart. So at the beginning of the Rosary, we talk about this you know, entering into that mystical dimension, mystically entering into the Immaculate Heart of Our Lady and asking her to reveal to us the mysteries of her son's life. And you're right, Tom, that concept of remembering is a Jewish notion, and it comes down to us from our Jewish tradition. And the idea of remembrance there is that it isn't a nostalgic gaze to the past. It isn't the recalling of a happy time or anything of that nature, but it's an actual bringing into the present moment the power of that event that happened in the past. And so at the consecration, do this in remembrance of me. What happened in the past is actually being made present again to us in the moment. How can that be? God does not exist in time. God exists in the eternal moment, and everything is immediately present to him. And because we are spiritual beings, corporeal beings, but spiritual beings in our, in our essence, he pulls us into that moment, and we can call down all of those graces that were present then in time into our lives now. And so that one chapter is a very meaningful chapter to me too. I just really love that chapter. And that's another facet of the book, friends, that we want you to know about, is that, yes, we talk about the battle. Yes, we talk about the way in which the rosary has triumphed in time in various situations and circumstances of the world. But it also contains within it the capacity to help you to enter into the rosary more deeply, dealing with distractions that come and things of that nature too. So it's really, I think a unique offering, which is why we're encouraging you to get a copy of it at EWTN's religious catalog, EWTNRC.com. And I do want you to get out to our website, womenofgrace.com, because we've got all kinds of good info available for you there. And, all of what we're talking about today, we've got supplemental aspects to, as well as the books and the rosaries, as you know, that EWTNRC has too. But we've got webinars there, Tom, that you've done at our various events that really take those battles of ours and put them, the battle of that primordial battle, and puts it into perspective for us today. They're there as part of the Women of Grace exclusive opportunity. So we invite you to get out there and to check that benefit. I hear the music. We're going to a break. When we come back, more with our guest today, Thomas K. Sullivan. We're talking about the power of the rosary. We certainly are. The Rosary, Your Weapon for Spiritual Warfare, is the book we're discussing. We authored it, and we're very happy to talk about it with you. We invite you to get out there to EWTNRC.com. Take a look at what's available for you there by way of the Warrior's Rosaries and our book, The Rosary, Your Weapon for Spiritual Warfare. It's the month of the rosary. We've got to learn all about it. It's our weapon. We're going to be right back. Stay tuned. Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. Very happy to be with you today. I am inviting you to get out to our website, womenofgrace.com. See all of the goodies that we've got available for you there. Interviewing my buddy, Thomas K. Sullivan, who is the co-author of a book that we did together, The Rosary, Your Weapon for Spiritual Warfare. I really want for you to pick up those beads and to pray them. We do. You know, we were talking at the beginning of the program here about the need to evangelize the rosary. You know, the rosary is our weapon for spiritual warfare. It isn't that Tom and I said that. It's that many saints and many holy fathers have said that the rosary is a spiritual weapon. And when we're facing the challenges we're facing today, we certainly do want to be armed with all of the graces and blessings available to us from the heavenlies. The rosary contains them. Next to the holy sacrifice of the Mass, it is the most powerful of all prayers. Many of the saints and many of the holy fathers have said that as well. When we went to the break, we were talking with you about the way in which we can enter into the mysteries of the rosary more deeply. We were talking about the fact that within our Catholic understanding, coming to us from our Jewish roots, we have this concept of remembering. But when we talk about remembering in the sense of our faith, we're not talking about just casting a backward glance at something that happened in the past. We're talking about the reality spiritual reality of that moment coming forward into the present. So, Tom, I'm just going to read, one little paragraph from that particular chapter. And it says this: it is all about the word remembering as understood in the biblical sense. The Holy Father, and this is John Paul II, and here we're talking about his apostolic letter on the rosary. The Holy Father tells us that above all, Mary's contemplation was a remembering. In the biblical sense, remembrance is a making present of the works brought about by God in the history of salvation. It is with this understanding of the word, for example, that Jesus tells the apostles at the Last Supper, do this in remembrance of me. And that's an important thing, because what we're saying here is that all of the beautiful graces, all of the wonderful actions, all of the blessings that occurred in the time that Jesus walked this earth are available to us in the eternal moment. And when we begin to pray in accordance with that eternal moment, which is where God is, when we begin to pray, we can, in fact, begin to bring into being in our own lives all of those spiritual graces. It's just the way that it works. That's how it happens. So, you know, it's a very important thing for us to consider that. You know, another feature of this book, Tom, that I think is really wonderful is that when we talk about engaging in this war with the battles, with the powers and the principalities that persist upon us today, the zeitgeist of the age, there are ways in which we can allow ourselves to be activated, if you will, as soldiers. And one way is through the meditations that we pray when we pray the rosary. And so we offer in the book a meditation for spiritual warfare based on every single mystery of the rosary, for all four of the mysteries and every mystery contained in those all fours.
We did so keeping in mind where the war began. And that was something, too, that I really enjoyed doing when we wrote these. Like, if I could just share one with you, the Annunciation. Sure. Of the angel Gabriel to Mary. Now, remember, angel Gabriel was in the beginning. He was created. He was among the angels. When the vision God showed them of what his plan would be for the future, of creating this woman that they would have to pay homage to, and Lucifer and his one-third of the angels that followed him rebelled, said, no way. Michael went to battle, threw him out. And Gabriel is there. And he's part of those angels who are anticipating their queen, their sovereign, his anticipation, his anxiousness. And he gets the privilege in the first joyful mystery of announcing to Mary God's plan. And so if I could just read this to give you a feel for it. The Annunciation of the Angel Gabriel to Mary. Father in heaven, I picture the Archangel Gabriel coming to announce to Mary that she is to be the mother of the Messiah. Beholding her, he bends his knee in submission before the woman who is his queen. Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you, he says. Let it be to me according to your word, she replies. And all of heaven erupts with joy. Her fiat is her huah. And with it, the word is made flesh and dwells among us. Salvation comes. Mother, take me into this mystery and help me to appropriate its grace. May I, like you, give my fiat to every request of the Father. Obtain for me the grace of humility to always be at the service of heaven. Mary, Holy Virgin of Virgins, pray for me. And that begins the first joyful mystery. So the mysteries reflect and keep in mind that this picture isn't just isolated to, well, I'm just going to pray my rosary right now. It's eternal. It's huge. It had a beginning. That the moment that we are in right now, the prayer that we're about to step into is part of something much bigger than ourselves, and transcends really time and space all the way to the very beginning and the creation of the angelic beings there in heaven.
Yeah, they're beautiful. Every one of them is unique in its own way, and every one of them remembers a specific title of Our Blessed Lady. So it helps for us to get the full scope of who this woman is to the extent that we can possibly comprehend it. And, you know, you mentioned Maximilian Kolbe earlier on, Tom, and, you know, his famous question that is a question for which he expects no answer, but maybe just a deeper infilling of the Holy Spirit to unpack the mystery a little further when he says, "Oh, Immaculata, who are you?" And we don't really realize the depth of who Our Blessed Lady is. And in this book, we strive to help the reader understand why it is that Mary is so powerful with God.
Yeah. And it doesn't just, you know, again, too, I want to emphasize this because I'm still, I've read the book twice. I've listened to it on CD and downloaded it on Audible, and we play it in the car. It is so complete, you know, and it doesn't, if you think it's just going to talk about the rosary, it does not. There is so much more because the rosary is a piece of the bigger picture. And this is what is so fascinating and so fulfilling spiritually, personally, in my family, as a father, as a husband, as a leader and a provider and a protector. There is so much from cover to cover that is there for you. Even introducing the saints as our, the communion of saints. Everybody, oh yeah, the communion of saints. Oh, those, you know, I know who that is. No, you don't know who they are. The communion of saints, they're the special forces warriors that we call on for assistance, for aid. Why? Because they fought the fight already here on the battlefield of life. They've already been victorious. They know the way. They know the strategy. They know the tactics. They know. So we're not alone in life, you know. So even this chapter that we introduce the special forces warriors, both men and women, has a unique place in our own lives, you know, and in our prayer lives. So there's so much that is in the book that you really can't just put your finger on and say, oh, this is a rosary book. Oh, no, this is a manual for spiritual warfare. That just so happens the rosary is the weapon of choice, you know, and Our Lady is the one who is our queen and our queen of militants.
Yeah, true.
Steal the title of another book that we have.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let me just mention that book since you brought it up. It's called The Queen of Militants, friends, and I've mentioned it here on Women of Grace Live before. It's a beautiful book. It's not written by us. It's written by Father Emil Neubert, who was a leading Mariologist of the 20th century, truly the one who put Mariology on the map. His doctoral dissertation on the Patristic Fathers' perspective of Our Blessed Lady in Light of Salvation was really a watershed moment in terms of coming into a deeper awareness of Mary and a desire to discover what it is that God would have us know about her. And so he's written numbers of books, but the one that Tom referenced here is Queen of Militants, and it was out of print for a while, and Women of Grace republished it. We've got that for you, and EWTN Religious Catalog has that for you too. And it's a beautiful book. Once you understand who Our Blessed Mother is and how it is that you know, that dainty little heel of hers that crushes the head of the serpent is comprised of all of those who are her children, which would be you and us, you know, once we understand that, how is she going to affect this? She's going to affect it in and through us when we give our fiat to her Son, as she gave her fiat to the Father to bring the Son. And so when you talk about these special forces teams, Tom, the valiant men and the valiant women, we've got Knights of the Kingdom and we've got valiant women, and then we have saints of modern times, and we include even young warriors for the kingdom. We start that whole section off with a quote from Saint Ignatius of Loyola, and it's beautiful. And this is what he said: "Few souls understand what God would accomplish in them if they were to abandon themselves unreservedly to Him, and if they were to allow His grace to mold them accordingly." And that is just such a rich quote. I think that we sometimes see ourselves as powerless against these forces. We see ourselves as powerless against the trials and the tribulations of the modern day as they beset us as a people. We see ourselves powerless against the tribulations and trials that we experience in our own families, you know? And these are real problems. You can't spiritualize them away, but we are not powerless. And that's what this book aims to tell us, is that we are not powerless, that we have not only a weapon, but we have all of the spiritual graces available to us through that weapon, and we have all of heaven helping us to wield that weapon if, in fact, we give fiat to our Lord.
Right. And you know, Johnette, over the last 5 years, tens of thousands of people have acquired the Warrior's Rosary, and they pray it. This book contains every single warrior saint that is on every single warrior's rosary out there. Every EWTN saint that is on the EWTN warrior's rosary, their complete bio with the angle of understanding their lives when they were in battle here on earth. Because many of the saints, were not only spiritual warriors, but were actual soldiers and warriors in this life. But it's a jewel, it's a treasure that everybody who has a warrior's rosary, every one of their saints is contained in this book. All of them. Every single one of them. And it gives you a bio of who the saint was, so that when you're praying the warrior's rosary and you attempt to, all right, I'm going to enter into the first joyful mystery, and I'm going to pray this first joyful mystery with Saint Michael the Archangel. I have his background. I know who he is. I know what he did. I know the battles he fought, and I know he's right there next to me as I pray these 10 beads. And then as I get to Saint George of England or whichever the saint is that is on the rosary that you have, maybe it's Maximilian Kolbe on the EWTN rosary. You get to read about his life, his background, how he laid his life down for a fellow prisoner in Auschwitz and so that this family man could go on to live and eventually be freed and stay with his family. Max gives his life up. And you want that kind of a soldier in battle with you, one who's willing to lay his life down for another, as Jesus tells us, is the greatest gift of love. And so the book, it's not just talking about the saints. It's not just, oh, yeah, the communion of saints. Isn't that wonderful? No. This chapter, and these three chapters actually, contain the bios of the special forces, men and women saints, that you who own the Warrior's Rosary will be going into combat with every time you pray a decade of the Rosary. It's more than just a collection of saints. It focuses in and goes with your warrior's rosary. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, it really is. And I just want to mention, like on the warrior's rosary that is made for women, we have these women who were really, tremendously strong in the defense of the faith, giving their lives up for it, as we well know, so many of them being these beautiful martyrs of the church. But in addition to that, we have a lot of people that are warriors of recent times, and we include some of those, in these, on the warrior rosaries. On the men's rosary, you have Saint Jose Sanchez del Rio, and one that I particularly love with reference to current times and being a woman is Blessed Mary Restituta Kafka. For the majority of people listening, maybe friend, you've never heard of Restituta Kafka, but she was a witness of the cross, and she gave her life for the sake of a crucifix hanging above the bed of an injured soldier when she was forced to work in a Nazi prison, and she refused to take it down, and for that she gave up her life. Who hears about these people? We've included them here for you because we think that they're saying something to us about this moment in time, and we really prayed about these saints, and as a result of that, there was a certain kind of prayerful consideration of them where we felt that perhaps these were the right ones that we should offer.
Right.
But then we get into this part of the book, Tom, where it talks about Our Lady's militia today. And that involves you, and it involves me, and it involves all of us listening today, doesn't it?
It does. It's really a call to action, you know, to put it in modern language. The call to action, it is, what can I do? You know, what can I do to engage this battle? Well, first of all, you pick up the rosary and you begin to pray, because the catechism uses the term battle over 25 times and more, and each time it's in the context of entering into prayer and prayer itself. So, you know, this call to action chapter is one where we talk about forming a warrior rosary crusade in your area. Perhaps you can gather, start as a family, or start by yourself. Begin praying the rosary yourself. Then gather your family or your friends and gather together. Get the book, The Warrior's Rosary, Your Weapon for Spiritual Warfare. Use the meditations that are in there. Get to know these saints and begin forming your own little warrior rosary crusade right there in your home, and then into your parish, your town. Just let it grow.
Yeah, and we really encourage all of you listening today to consider, how can you be an evangelizer of the rosary? Once you know the power of the rosary, once you have experienced its effect, once you have agreed that you are going to move forward in this prayer consistently, hopefully daily, then it's time to get out there and to help others to pray the rosary too, to help them to understand the power of the rosary, to help them to enter into the mysteries of our Lord's life that can be brought to bear in our personal lives, within the family that we live in, within the sphere of influence that's been entrusted to us. And we offer you a means in the book by which you can begin move forward in that direction with a rosary crusade, Tom.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, and that's what I was talking about. And there's an eight step process. It's all there. We have a whole chapter on establishing this, you know, a warrior rosary crusade in your own family, in your parish, you know, your own little group. And it's actually, interestingly enough, it's near the end of the book, and it's patterned after one of the battles we talk about in the first chapter. From in Brazil, Amelia, help me with her name, Amelia Bastos,
yes.
And the women down in Brazil.
I'll find it here.
Yeah, right. Amelia Bastos. That's right, exactly right. And she, heading up a group of women, heard about the communists, what they were going to do to overtake, and that she wasn't going to stand by doing nothing about it. And she assembled a group of women. They began praying. That whole story is there on what happened. And so we kind of patterned this call to action after that. So it's really amazing. And I think everybody would, you know, should establish the Warrior Rosary Crusade beginning in your own home today.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, it's an interesting thing. Why reinvent the wheel? This worked so beautifully.
Yeah.
It caused the Communist Party to flee Brazil because all of these women came together to pray the rosary. The men were coming up with their plans and all, but Dona Bastos overheard her husband and these gentlemen talking, and she felt like it was time to get the women involved. And so she started with these rosary groups that spread across the country, and I think it was 600,000 that came together in Sao Paulo, which is the capital of Brazil. And every time the communist speaker, I just love this story. Every time the communist speaker would begin, they would start to rattle their rosaries and start to pray the rosary out loud until the individual was drowned out. And the whole communist party realized that they couldn't go forward in Brazil. And so they were already situated into key positions within the governmental system of Brazil. And they had to abandon the entire project because of those women. And so, you know, when we think about this and we see, well, that happened in Brazil, why can't it happen now? Why can't we do the same here? And we can. And that's what we're trying to encourage through this book. We want to empower, we want to encourage, we want to empower, and we want to inspire people to move forward, because these days and times are ours, my friends, and we're going to be held accountable for what we did to reclaim this culture for our Lord Jesus Christ, or what we didn't do. So I want to be on the positive side of that scale. That's all I'm saying.
That's right. And you know, Jonah, I always say, listen, there is no DMZ in life. There's no demilitarized zone. There's no neutral ground. You're in the state of grace or you're in the state of sin. When we all die, we are either going to die as martyrs and heroes or we're going to be collateral damage. That's the fact.
So we need to step up. Yeah, we've got to step up and fight. So just encouraging you to pick up your beads today, my dear friends. Begin to pray. Begin to call down the grace that's contained in every single mystery that you pray. Begin to let that grace be activated in you. If you don't know how to do it, the book tells you how to do it. I'm going to tell you right now, just ask our Blessed Lady to take you into the mystery. John Paul II, in that beautiful apostolic letter on the Rosary, tells us to contemplate Jesus through the eyes of Mary. And our Blessed Mother will let us perceive him through her gaze. I tell you, she will do this, and she will let us see beyond the seeing. Let me tell you that. She will do that. God wants for us to be those men and women of faith today. He wants for us to move forward in faith and confidence. He wants for us to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. He wants for us to walk under the mantle of our Blessed Mother. He wants for us to do the battle that we were meant to do, because my brothers and sisters in Christ, souls are depending upon it. So once again, the book, The Rosary, Your Weapon for Spiritual Warfare, available for you at EWTNRC.com. The Warrior Rosary, also available for you there. In addition to that, Queen of Militants by Father Emil Neubert, available for you there. All we can do is to give you the tools to move forward. But that walking, that moving, it has to come from your will. And I pray to God it is coming from your will today. Tom, it was great. Thanks so much for being with us today.
You're welcome. God bless you now.
God bless you too. And friends, God bless all of you until we have the opportunity to be together again. May God richly bless you. Pick up that rosary. Heaven's depending upon you. It certainly is. Until we're together again. Bye-bye now.